Hello, I'd like to welcome Dr. Javaine Nelson to our interview on in her area of expertise as a dentist, a recent graduate of Howard University, and her and kind of just introduce her as a public health specialist. So welcome, Dr. Nelson. How are you? Dr. Nelson?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. I'd just like to welcome you to our interview as a public health specialist. So first I'll start off with, what dental school did you attend?
I went to the illustrious Howard University College of Dentistry.
Wonderful, wonderful. And how recent of a graduate are you?
I graduated in 2016.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
So you are a public health dentist or a general dentist specializing in public health right now.
Yes.
Can you tell us what were some of your reasons for becoming a public health dentist?
Well, I want to make a difference, and I love kids. And I was actually in between public health and pedo. I had thought I wanted to be a pediatric dentist my entire life. And I actually went to London and participated in a research project there where we were focusing our studies on first graders. And so that kind of exposed me to the fact that I could be involved with children and dentistry and public health all in one with a specialty. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of went the public health route. And mostly I thought that I wanted to make a difference just like any other dentist, but on a large scale. So I wanted to be a part of the groundbreaking discoveries that helped to revolutionize dentistry and like the way that we practice. So if you look at fluoride or silver diamine fluoride and things like that, but it took public health dentists paired with other dentists and engineers to come up with those things. So that was my, interest in becoming a public health dentist.
That's great. Wow, that sounds really interesting. So what are the additional training requirements that are necessary to become a public health dentist, and how long is the additional training?
So to become a public health dentist, to become board certified public health dentist, you have to have at least an MPH, so that could be 1 to 2 years training. And in addition to that, before you can take the last part of the exam, you have to have practice in the field for 1 year.
Okay.
So the board certification that is required for this is two parts. There's an oral part and there is a written part.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting. And where are you undertaking your master's in public health courses?
Well, I am at Harvard University, and thank you, and wouldn't be there without Howard, but at Harvard, it's a little bit different. I'm actually never going to get an MPH. I'm getting a master's in medical science, and the coursework that we have and the opportunities that they provide us fulfill all of the requirements for a MPH, but they're just special, and so they have a different name for it.
I see. So you'll still be able to go through that whole accreditation process, right?
Of course, yes. That's a requirement for the program.
Okay.
You have to take the written part while you're there, and then since you have to wait 1 year, they really strongly suggest that you take the oral defense portion as well.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So are there any specific state licensing requirements?
It's the same as a dentist. You would do the same thing as a general dentist as far as licensure.
Okay. Okay. And what would be the typical day as a public health dentist? What do you foresee yourself doing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the typical day for a public health dentist varies so vastly, which is part of the reason why I joined this profession, because I get kind of bored doing the same things over and over, although I do love dentistry and I love practicing. I like to have diversity. So, for example, a few weeks ago, I spent a lot of my time down at the city hall, and there were some bills going on about dental therapists, and as well as some other bills that probably are applicable to you about the board exam and making it not clinical with live patients. But I spent my entire day down there advocating for things that I believe in. And so you could do something like that in policy, or you could choose a more academic route, or you could have a research strength. So you could just work for the government and do more like a community approach.
Okay. So do you foresee yourself incorporating any at the clinical practice as well?
Do I foresee myself incorporating public health dentistry?
Or in clinical practicing? So.
Oh, like, yes. I currently practice.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
Yeah, so just because you're a public health dentist does not mean that you give up what you work so hard for. So that should be very clear.
Wonderful.
You have the option. Oh, excuse me. You have the option to do really whatever you want. You can make your schedule however you want it.
Wonderful. Okay. So what is what is your most rewarding part of being a public health dentist?
I would say the most rewarding part is I think it'd be similar to any dentist. Just that feeling that you get when you know that you made an impact and you're making a difference. And so I guess through public health, I just have the option of not limiting myself to my clinical abilities, but also helping to provide breakthroughs through research and advocacy and policy changes. Right now, I've been submitting a lot of work towards Congress concerning CHIP, which is the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the fact that they didn't reinstate it, and really trying to almost lobby, but just provide them information so that they know the seriousness of this and the fact that almost 9 million children depend on it, and just trying to advocate for the dental needs and the dental benefits for everyone. So it's really about health equity as a dental public health specialist. It's not that you want to give everyone equal amounts of, let's say, benefits, but you want to have everyone on an equal level. So I'm just trying to help those who are underserved and underrepresented and give them the same opportunities that everyone else has. And that's kind of what drives me. And that is, I guess, would be what's rewarding about the profession.
That's a commendable body of work that you're undertaking right now. So what types of, in your practice, in your clinical practice, what types of patients are you seeing?
Well, currently I work for Forsyth Kids, and that is a private organization, but they see children who are take state insurance. So I spend a lot of my time with underserved and underrepresented youth and treating them and just trying to educate them so that they can help themselves and not have to come and get a filling or a restoration or a crown or anything like that, you know, continuously. We try to empower them so that they can take control of their oral health as well as their overall health. So right now I'm seeing children, which is perfect because, like I said, I wanted to work with children at first, but you could see whatever type of patients that you wanted clinically if that were your desire. Because after all, you still are a dentist.
So do you ever, so in your public health, that kind of aspect of your life, do you see Do you deal with any, I know you said that you deal with, you lobby kind of state legislators and federal legislators. Do you also work with other community advocacy, oral health advocacy groups?
I work with community advocacy groups, but as far as oral health, I think us public health dentists are really the advocates as far as oral health. I mean, the ADA has their Health Policy Institute, and there's people there for sure, and there's policy people all over, but that is specific to dentistry, I think it would be us. But for instance, on Monday, I was at this breakfast, and it was the Health Law Advocacy Group, and it was lawyers and medical doctors and dentists and mental health workers and all a group of over 7,000 that came together to brainstorm and really work towards advocating for others. And at this particular instance, we were talking about those who were DACA immigrants or DACA recipients. And so, you know, just advocating for people that come, I mean, minorities, there's different forms of minorities, and immigrants are one of them. And so, you know, we try to, you know, advocate for everyone.
Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting. Let's see. Are there any local organizations that a public health dentist should join, you would recommend joining, or that you are yourself a member of?
I am a member of the American Association of Public Health Dentistry, and with that, they have something called the National Oral Health Conference, and that's kind of like a sister, just a conference part of the APHD. And in addition, there's like the American or the Association of State and Territorial Dental Directors, which is the ASTDD, and that's also an integral, you know, part of the public health community. So I would say the APHD with the American Association of Dental Directors or State and Territorial Dental Directors, those are excellent starters, but there's also, I mean, you could dive into specific programs as you see the need.
Okay. All right, interesting. So let's see, what is, I think I might know this based on what you talked about earlier, but what is your most, what to you is the most important dental-related public health issue that you want to spend your time fighting for?
I really am fighting for equity, and I wish this was like in person. I could show you a picture or even draw a picture of what it really means, but maybe you could Google it, health equity versus health equality, just so that you could see what the difference is and what we're striving for. But that's something that's really important for me, and just equipping people with literacy skills as well to understand their own health and how it affects their oral and overall health. So that's something that's important.
Okay. And let's see, what advice would you give a D1 student about who might have some type of interest but's not really sure about public health? What type of advice would you give them?
I would first say keep an open mind, because like I said, I wanted to be a dentist at 5. And before I came to dental school while I was in college, I just knew I wanted to be a pediatric dentist. And it wasn't until my third year in dental school when I studied abroad in London that I really exposed myself to the opportunity of doing something other than pediatric dentistry. And so that was pretty late in the career. Because you have to apply for residencies just shortly after. And I actually did get into a residency that was pedo public health, and it was 3 years, and it was a paid position. But I really found my love for public health dentistry, and I really want to fight and to change the world of dentistry so that everyone can have an equal opportunity. So I would tell a D1 to just keep your options open. I loved endo. I was great, and I had a great relationship with all my past professors. So I had options, but I just followed my heart. And follow your heart, because at the end of the day, you want to be happy with what you do, and you want to go to work, and you don't want to feel like it's work. And if you enjoy what you do, then that can help you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I just want to thank you, Dr. Nelson, for your time and for the advice and the words that you spoke. I wish you the best. And
one other thing, if you don't mind, Shelley.
Sure.
If anyone is interested in they just want to talk a little more, they want to find out anything more, I definitely bleed the Howard Blue, and I would be interested in answering any concerns, any questions, or helping to mentor anyone, because that's a definite important part of just our development in our career. So I just wanted to make that known, and so that you can let others know that this is probably some people might not look into it because it's not very lucrative if you are trying to be a millionaire really, really quickly. But if you want that internal satisfaction, then definitely let them contact me.
I will do that. Thank you very much, Dr. Nelson.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Best of luck to you, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.